Praise God. We have a wonderful treat tonight. Brother Chris Arnold is going to be preaching for us. I asked him last Sunday, and I am so glad that I asked him. Amen. Looking forward to hearing from him. Amen. Anybody who's been on a cruise and rested up and relaxed ought to have a stirring message for us tonight. And I know he and Sister Tabitha had a good time on their cruise. So, Brother Chris, come take your liberty in the Lord. Feed us that heavenly manna tonight that God has laid upon your heart. Amen. Everybody say, Lord bless Brother Chris.
Amen. God bless you, brother. I love you. Praise God.
Amen. The Bible says, in a moment, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye,
amen.
We will rise up and be with him.
Amen.
It actually says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that remain. I don't know about you, but I'm a remainder. I'm just waiting for that call. I'm just waiting for old Gabriel to get out on that cloud and to blow that trumpet. I might not be very old, but I've seen a lot of things. I've felt a lot of heartache. I've felt a lot of hurt. And this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. Somebody said, how can you be so homesick for a place you've never been? I don't know, but I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be with my Savior. Amen. I'm ready to sit down at his feet. I'm ready to praise him and thank him for all that he did for me. As I was sitting there listening to the songs that were being sung tonight, one of the, and I'm not a singer, don't worry. My wife is the singer of our family, not me. But I was thinking about the hymn, The Love of God. And I love the words to this. It's page 220. I just want to read the last part of that. And I just want to start off, I just want to read that. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of God, how rich and pure is what it says. How deep and how strong. Yesterday as we were in the Overcomer Outreach meeting, all I could think about was the love of God. All I could think about, you know, I told Tabitha on the way home, I said, you know, we can read the stories in the Bible, and they're great, and I love the story of Saul when he got converted. But you know, when somebody in real life comes up to you and says, hey, look, I was on drugs and there wasn't no hope, but God. But God reached down. I'm telling you, that does something for you. That stirs you up and says, hey, wait a minute. God is good. Even when we don't see it, God is good. Amen. And so many testimonies of people praying. One fellow stood up. He said, I don't know what was going on. And all I could think about, somebody was praying for you. Somebody had your number and was praying for you. Whether you know them or not, somebody was praying for you. Amen. Thank God for prayer. Amen. Thank God. I just want to go to John chapter number 3 and verse 16. Very simple, simple message tonight. John 3:16, and we all, I'm sure, know it by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. We thank you for your many wonderful blessings, Lord. Father, I just ask tonight that you would just simply have your will and your way in this service, Father God, that you'd move in a mighty way, Father God. Lord, let your words go forth, Father God. Anoint my lips, Father God. Anoint my lungs to bring forth your word, Father God. Lord, let everything I say and do bring honor and glory into your name, Father God. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
For God so loved the world. that he gave the only thing he could give to us, his only begotten Son. That whosoever, you're a whosoever. I'm a whosoever. You're a whosoever. Believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Too many times in our agenda, we try to make things about blessing. And I talked a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning. We try to make it about, God, what are you going to do for me? He's already done enough for me. Where if he does nothing else for me, he's done plenty enough for me. Amen. And we can get back and we can say, well, God ain't done this for me and God ain't done that. Let me tell you something. God saved my soul. That's enough. God wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's enough for me. God told me that one day I'm going to walk on streets of purest gold, Sister Linda. That my mind cannot fathom what that was going to be like. I was telling the boys the other day, I said, can you imagine what John saw whenever he was trying to write the book of Revelations? And God said, write these things. And he's saying, I can't find words to describe what I'm seeing. I don't even know what I'm seeing. It doesn't make any sense, but I see this and I see that and I see that. And I see a land where there's no more night. And I see a land where it's always day. And I see a land where everything's great. And it's called heaven. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. Listen, no more pain, no more hurting, no more heartache, no more trouble, no more strife. How did that happen? Because God sent a Savior. If I had a title for the message tonight, it would be, oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. And I know we're starting to get into the Christmas season. Y'all know that? I found that out when I walked into Walmart a couple weeks back. And I'm looking, I was like, really? We already got. So, you know, I go home and I'm sitting on the couch and I look over at Tabitha and I said, hey, when are we going to put our Christmas tree up? She said, not yet. I'm ready. You know, I like the Christmas season, not because of the paganistic side of it, because I get to celebrate my Savior's birth. It's not about the presents. It's about his presence. Amen. It's about me celebrating what he did. And I can't help because, you know, sometimes you just get the can't help it. Amen. Sometimes you just, God just lays something on your heart and you said, you know what? I just can't help it. So turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. Whenever I read this story, whenever I think about this story, I always go back and I think about, you know, taxes. We all pay taxes. You ever think about how much taxes you pay? I sat down and thought about it, and I was like, I don't want to think about that no more. You know, and I was explaining to Laz, you know, he's working on getting a job. I said, son, you know, it's good that you can make this amount of dollar an hour, but this is how much taxes take from it. He's like, what do they do that for? I said, well, so you can have a road to drive on. So you can have all this lovely stuff. You can have a stoplight. It doesn't come free. People have to pay taxes for that. And I think about, you know, sometimes we feel like, man, we are just so burdened down. This world has got us so burdened down. We can get so burdened down to where we feel tired. Amen? And what happened here with Joseph and Mary, the decree went forth from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Oh, man. People were, oh, man. Now we got to be taxed. I got 5 cents in my bank account. And now I got to pay 4 cents in taxes. I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know. It was literally a time like we live in now. It was a time to where we don't know what's going to happen next. It's a time where it was a lot of uncertainty. There was a time where a lot of things happened in the Old Testament. And a lot of people that went to church, that were in the church, that were part of the church, knew that God was going to send a Savior. But they didn't know where he was going to come from. They said, he's going to rise up, but we don't know where. So watch what happens here. I love this story because God always works in ways that we think he's not going to work. Amen? Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, I want to just kind of set a little bit of visual here. There's shepherds in the field. You ever been out in the field at night? It's dark. It is dark. I mean, you can't see that right there. You can't see your hand in front of your face. It's dark. And you look up and you see all you can see is the stars. And they're so beautiful and they're so close. You never saw it before because you've never been in a place where you were in a dark place. But it was dark. And I'm sure they were talking about the usual, you know, hey, the football game. And they, come on, y'all, wake up. I'm sure they were just talking about the everyday things. Hey, did you hear that there was supposed to be a Savior born? Hey, did you know that? And all of a sudden, whoa, the glory of the Lord came down. Now, a lot of theologians believe that was Michael, the archangel of war, that came down. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. It is a war. Let me tell you something. Satan is defeated. Let me tell you something. God, there ain't nobody that's going to beat God. There ain't even nobody that's going to come close to beating God. Because He is the Savior of the world. He rules and He reigns. My Bible tells me that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess of the things above the earth and under the earth and in the earth. There is nobody like Him. There is no king like my king. There is no God like my God. Amen. There is only one God that is alive and well, and His name is Jesus. And He sits on the right hand throne of the Father, and He's interceding for you and for me. If that don't do something for you, amen, when we get sinus troubles, when we get sick, when we get these issues right here, we can go to a Savior. Hallelujah. We don't have to go and pray to Mary. I can go straight to Jesus. Hallelujah. I can, when I don't feel good in the middle of the night, I can wake up and I can say, Jesus, touch me. And He touches me. Hallelujah. And all the world and all the billions of people in this world, He reaches down and He touches me. Because He is my Savior. He is my hope. He is my help. He is my deliverer. He is my righteousness. He is my strong tower. Oh, hallelujah. He is where I belong in His presence. Amen. I know I got a little sidetracked back there. But they're sitting in the field, and it's dark. The Shekinah glory of God comes down. Whew. And Michael, the archangel of war, I'm sure he's not one of these beautiful angels. I'm sure he's one of these, you know, hey, this is war. And he says to him in verse 10, fear not. Fear not. I'm going to tell you something. If I'm a shepherd, and I'm a big guy, if I'm a shepherd, and I'm out in the field, you know, us guys, we have this thing we do, whether y'all know it or not. When we're scared, we don't act like it. I'm not scared at all. Y'all guys ain't never done that. Y'all ain't never. You poke your chest out a little bit, your voice gets a little beeper. I'm not scared of nothing. But Lord, help us let something jump out from behind the bush. Hey, first thing I'm saying is, Jesus, help me. I know where my help comes from. So they're standing there. And all of a sudden, the glory of God comes down. And He says, fear not, for I bring you good tidings. Oh, hallelujah. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. All people. I don't know about you, but I fit in that category. You fit in that category. Unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. That's prophetic. A Savior. A Savior. Which is Christ the Lord. Now's the time you dance. Brother Eddie said, shout now. Now's the time you shout. Because there was a Savior that was born. For all the things that I have done, there was a Savior that was born. So I could go to heaven. You see, just like Paul said, my righteousness is as filthy rags. There's no way that I can do anything good enough to make heaven my home. I have to have that ticket. I have to have that ticket stamped. And I have to have that blood applied. I'm like, Brother Eddie, I don't believe we preach enough about the blood of Jesus. Because without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sins. If that blood had not have been shed, there had to be a sacrifice. There had to be a perfect sacrifice. There had to be a Savior that came down to save you. To save me. Oh, what a Savior. For I bring you good tidings of great joy. You can't say joy and not smile. Joy. You can't do it. Joy. You know what joy is? Jesus over you. That's joy. Jesus over you. And when I have Jesus over me, suddenly everything I was worried about, I don't worry about before. Suddenly the things that the doctor told me, I don't worry about those anymore. I say, you know what, Jesus, you are my healer. You are my physician. You know, I've realized something about doctors. God's given us doctors. Don't get me wrong, I like doctors. But there's a reason why they call it practicing medicine. Because that's what they do. They practice medicine. Just like a lawyer practices law, a doctor practices medicine. But you know what? There is one that formed you in the likeness of His image. If that doesn't mean something to you, you say, well, I'm not nothing or nobody. Look in the mirror. Because you look, you know, everybody says, you look like your dad. You look like your mom. You look like this. You look like that. I look like my dad. The older I get, the more I look like my dad. It's kind of eerie, but I look like my dad. And I think, you know what? If I can look like my heavenly Father, if He made me in the likeness of His image, He must love me. Listen, He formed me. He knows when something goes wrong in my body, and He can heal it. Just like that. He doesn't have to put me under an x-ray. He doesn't have to put me on an EKG machine. He doesn't have to do all this stuff to me. He knows, hey, this is what's going on. I'm going to heal it. Just like that. Because that is our Savior. Fear not. Good tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. Flip over, if you will, to Numbers. We're going to go a little bit. Numbers chapter number 24. I was thinking, as a couple weeks ago, we went on vacation. It's the first time me and Tabitha's ever spent 7 days together. I was kind of worried about it because I thought, you know, spending that much time, I might get on her nerves. I get on my own nerves sometimes. It's okay, you know. And I think, man, but you know what? It was just a relaxing, refreshing time. It was a time for us to get to have conversations that we haven't had in a long, long time. And it was a time to get to know her all over again. But on the way back home, as we left New Orleans, and we got down, I guess it was I-59. It's a big road of nothing, you know. And I was listening to the radio, and I heard the Lord say, Kinsman Redeemer. Now, you ever have the Lord say something to you, and as soon as He says it, you get excited? That might not have meant nothing to anybody else. But I heard God say, I'm your Kinsman Redeemer. As soon as I got home, I had to look up the book of Ruth, and had to read that whole story about Ruth, about how Boaz was the Kinsman Redeemer, and about how Boaz was in a place where she didn't know what to do. If you ever get a time to read the story, read that story. It's beautiful. It talks about, it's actually talking about how when we get into a place where we don't know what to do, we turn to God. And God steps up. Because He is our Redeemer. He is our Kinsman Redeemer. Amen? But I got to thinking about it, and I got to thinking about, you know, we need to start seeking God more. We need to start seeking His face. Amen. Too many times we seek what's in His hand. We say, God bless me, God heal me, God do. We seek His face. And when we seek His face, we have that relationship with Him. You see, when we have that relationship with Him, we can come to Him boldly, the Bible says. We can go boldly to the throne room. And we can ask what we will, receiving and believing. You see, the problem is why we don't see prayers answered is because we're afraid to ask. We're afraid to even ask. I'm not going to bother God with that. It's okay. But if we'll go boldly through the throne of grace and say, Lord, I need you. The kids nowadays, I have this saying, keep it 100. That means keep it real. Keep it 100%. Keep it real. Too many times people try to throw up a facade and say, everything's fine. Everything's great. When really their world is shattering. God can see through that. God sees right through that. He's trying to help you, but He wants to have that real relationship with you. You ever have somebody that you meet from time to time and you can tell they don't like you? You ever have people like that? You can just tell they don't like you. You're like, man, I can tell. Even though they're smiling at me, I can tell they don't like me. You know, when we do that to God, we're saying, God, we got this. I don't need you. What we're doing is we're pushing that Savior away. We're saying, God, I can do this by myself. I can make this by myself. I realized a long time ago, I can't do anything without God. Brother Eddie sings the song, you know, I can't even walk unless He's holding my hand. As like Brother Jim said, you know, They tell you, as a man, you're not supposed to cry. You're not supposed to show emotion. Like my boys tell me all the time, Dad, you ain't nothing but a big teddy bear. God put this big frame in a soft heart for a reason. Because a lot of times people leave me alone. I mean, I can have a mean look, but inside, I'm soft. Inside, because God made me that way. I thank God for that. But they tell you, hey, look, don't cry. Don't show emotion. When I start thinking about what Jesus did for me, oh, hallelujah. When I start thinking about how he was beat with a cat of nine tails for my healing, when I start thinking about he hung on a cross, Sister Linda, for me. He bore my sins for me. He called out to God. He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God the Father had to actually turn his back on the Son because he took on all the sin of the world. Oh, he took on my sin. He took on your sin. He took on the sin of the whole wide world. Why? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. Because he needed to send that perfect sacrifice. Now, he could have called down legions of angels and could have saved him off the cross. But that wasn't the plan. That wasn't the plan. Listen, he willingly went forward. And he was, you know, people say, oh, they killed Jesus at the cross. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. The Bible says he gave up his life. They couldn't take his life from him. He gave up his life. They put him in a borrowed tomb. Hallelujah. And it gets a little better. They put him in a borrowed tomb for 3 days. He was there. For 3 days he was there. They came to Mary and the other Mary came to go see his. They brought some spices and stuff like that. And they went to go see his grave. And they said, you know what? He ain't there. The angel of the Lord looked at him and says, why seek ye the living among the dead? Oh, hallelujah. Why are you looking for something that's alive where something was once dead? You see, I was once dead in sin. But Jesus came. He reached down. Hallelujah. And oh, as the song says, I can take you to the place. I can take you to the time. I can tell you the time. But I can't tell you how. And I can't tell you why. But Jesus reached down. And he saved my soul. He saw something good and something that was not good. And oh, hallelujah. He had mercy and he had grace on me. If you think God ain't real, how about that testimony that Brother Keith gave? Ain't that something? God can take a nobody and make somebody out of them. Hallelujah. Because that's what he does. He cleans us up. And you know what? When we trip and we fall, he reaches back down and cleans us back up again. He sets us on a rock. Hallelujah. And he establishes our goings. Because that's the kind of Savior we serve. But we don't seek him enough. Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Matthew, chapter number 2. Verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, I'll tell you a little something about Bethlehem you might not know. There's a lot of interesting things because, this interests me, so I really started studying it. Bethlehem is the geographic center of the world. Did you know that? When you lay the world flat and you're looking for the geographic center, Bethlehem. Do you know why Jesus was born in Bethlehem? Because he is the center of the world. Because he is the center of the universe. Because he, come on somebody. The God I serve is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The God I serve is alive and well. The God I serve is not about religion. It's about a relationship. Too many times we get lost in the things of religion. We got to do it this way and we got to do it that way. It's about a relationship. Amen. Sometimes I go to my wife and I say, honey, I just want to hold your hand. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want you to talk to me. I just want to hold your hand. And sometimes at night we'll be sitting there watching TV on the couch and I'll just be holding her hand. And I think to myself, sometimes we just need to do God like that. God, I just want to put my hand in your hand. Because wherever you go, I want to go. Whatever you do, I want to do. When I was little, I was watching Gentry and I was watching Billy. And it reminds me and my dad watching them two. Gentry's like a little shadow to him. And that's what I was like. And I can remember as a kid, my dad had this huge shadow. And I would try to get in it. You know, you try to get in the sun and try to get, man, I want to be just like my dad. Whenever he would walk, his feet would go like that. Because he was kind of duck-footed, I guess. And man, I'd try to jump and get in his footsteps. Wherever he walked, I wanted to be just like my dad. Whatever my dad, man, when my dad went somewhere, it didn't matter if he was going to take the garbage to the dump. I wanted to go with my dad because that was my hero. I wanted to be just like him. The older I get, the more I want to be like Jesus. I want to follow in his footsteps. Wherever he goes, I want to go. You know, Moses said, if you go not with us, Lord, take us not up hence. I'm not going to go where God's not at. That's why I don't go to the bars. That's why I don't go to the places where Jesus is not. I want to stay in his presence. Because in his presence is fullness of life. In his presence is protection. In his presence is peace that passes all understanding. That the world doesn't understand. Amen? But when we seek God, we truly seek him for who he is. And chapter 2 of verse 1 of Matthew. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. By the way, nowhere in the Bible is there listed that there were three wise men. There were just wise men. There's no number given. They were also called the Magi, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. We have seen his star in the east. It amazes me that wise men would look for a star in the east when everybody else missed it. Nobody else was focused on that because they were so worried with the hustle and bustle of their little life, what they had to do. None of us ever do that, do we? None of us ever, did you see that? No, I didn't, because I was so worried about my little circle. There's one thing that I realized as we went on this trip. And I told Tabitha, I said, you know what's amazing to me? I said, this is a big old world with a lot of people that hurt in it. With a lot of people. You know, you look at our world and we say, you know what? It's only me. It's only my little world and my problems and everything I have to deal with. When you're going out and you're looking at people living in shacks that are happy, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. You know, and as we went and we toured around the country of Belize, and the tour guide was showing us, he said, you know, in Belize, we work for everything we get. We don't have anything that's given to us. The only thing that's given to us is a parcel of land. When we're born, we're deeded a parcel of land. But it could be in a swamp or anywhere. You know, we have to work and we have to build where we're at. But I was looking and I was thinking, man, these people, and I mentioned about the church, they come into the church. And the church is wide open, and it stays wide open. That amazes me. As we're sitting in there, I mean, mosquitoes are just all over the place. And I'm thinking, man, it is hot. It is hot. When you get that close to the equator, it is hot. Hot. I mean, it is. Listen, I was born and raised in Florida, and it was, I told Tabitha, I said, I can't handle all this now. It is crazy hot. And we were talking to one of the people there. And I was like, oh, no, it's done cooled off. I was like, what? Y'all are crazy. But, you know, as we were talking to the tour guide, and he was talking back and forth to us, he said, this is how we live. And we're thankful for everything that we have. As we went to the church, and he said, you know, in Belize, we have a lot of different denominations and a lot of different beliefs. He said, my mom is a Pentecostal. I thought to myself, hallelujah. He said, I'm a Episcopalian. He said that we have different Methodists and Baptists and stuff like that here. But I was thinking, man, people that come that get real with God, it doesn't matter the environment you're in. You're not worried about everything that's around you. You're worried about seeking his face. Those people are worried about seeking God's face. Whether it's hot or cold or rainy or dry, they're worried about seeking God's face. They come into church. They might not be dressed up in the best clothes that we have, but they're dressed up the best way they know. But their heart's in the right place. When you get your heart right, and when you get your heart in the right place, it doesn't matter what people say, Because you're looking at one thing and one thing only. It doesn't matter that people say you shouldn't have wore that shirt with those pants because it doesn't match. You're in it to praise the Lord. You're in it to worship the Lord. It doesn't matter what people think. Man, I can't believe he said that. I can't believe he did that. We're here to worship the Lord. We're here to exalt the Lord. We're here to lift up the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's the only thing we're here for. And his opinion is the only opinion that I'm worried about. Whatever he says to me, amen, I want to look at him on that day, and I want him to look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. But the Magi were coming from the east. And they said, where is this king of the Jews? Now, it had been some time since Jesus had been born. Approximately 3 years is what the Bible scholars say. And they said, we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When you came into church tonight, did you think, I just want to worship the Lord? I just want to worship him. I just want to, you know, we can praise. We can exalt his name. But when you get to the realm of worship, it's something altogether different. God, I worship you for who you are. I did a study one time on the different names of God and what they meant. And you know, one of the names of God, one of the ones that I love the best, you know, you have Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nisi, the God of peace. But the one I love the best is El Elyon. El Elyon means the Most High God. There is no other God higher than he is. There is no other God on this earth higher than he is. There is no other God that's ever been that's higher than he is. He is the Most High God. And when the Magi were looking for these 2 and 3 years, they saw this star. A star. And it kept leading them. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know when they would get there. They didn't have an agenda. They weren't worried about, oh man, I got to hurry up and get back home. My wife's got supper waiting on me. No. They were worried about seeing Jesus. What I'm trying to say is, if we'll lose our agenda, and we'll say, you know what, I'm getting a little hungry. It's about supper time. I'm ready to get home because that roast I got in the oven is cooking. Next time, put it in a crock pot. Put it in a crock pot, that thing will cut off. Hey, I done figured that out. Hallelujah. But we start losing sight of God because we get our eyes on the world. The Magi, they were looking up. They weren't looking down. They weren't looking at everything around them. They were looking up. Because they knew what Numbers 24 and 15 said. Because they will send a star. And they excited them so much. And see, these were people that were like scientists of the day. They studied the stars. They knew what it meant to have a Savior. They didn't have to have that experience like the shepherds had. They knew that there was a Savior because they saw a star in the east. And they started following it. Listen, for 2 and 3 years is what the Bible scholars say. They followed that star. And when they followed that star, they came to King Herod and said, where's he at? Where is he? I'm ready to see Jesus. Where is he? They weren't worried about, oh, King Herod, where are you at? What kind of food have you got to eat? Where are we going to sleep tonight? They said, where's he at? Take us to him. Take us, because they were hungry enough for God. All they wanted was him. They got everything else out of the way. And they said, you know what? We want to see that Savior because we want to lay eyes on him. The Bible says, I've seen him, but not near. I beheld him, but not close. They said, we want to get close to him. We're not just going to be one of those people that look at the star and say, man, that's beautiful. I'm just going to let somebody else figure out where he's at. No, let us come and go see where he is. Let us come and go see where he is. We gather into church to come and see where Jesus is. We come to gather in this church not for a social club, not for a religious culture. We come to gather because we want to see Jesus. Because we want to see, hey man, I think there's some people in the boat with me. We want to see Jesus. I don't want to just see God move. I want to be in his presence. Amen. Because like Brother Eddie said, I'm addicted to him. I've tasted and seen that he is good. And I can't stop. I'm addicted to him. I got to have more presence of Jesus. I got to see him. Hallelujah. I got to get close to him. Because he is my Savior. Because he is the one that died for me. He is the only thing keeping me going. He is my Savior. Some people say, oh, my kids are my life. My Jesus is my life.
My Jesus is my life. You put Jesus first, He'll take care of you, kids. You ain't got to, listen, you ain't got to worry about, I was telling them in Sunday school, you know, when your kids are little, you worry about things. And when they get older, you worry about different things. And you never quit being concerned about your kids, but there's a certain peace that comes when I can go to God and I can say, God, I want you to put a hedge of protection around my family. God, and each and every person that I know, you know what? Here lately I've been praying, don't just be specific. Don't just pray for this person and this person and not this and this person. God, I want you to blanket. If they come across my path, I want you to blanket them with protection. I want you to let them have a good day, Lord. And I want them to just feel your presence as it comes off of me, God. Because all I am is just a light that you use. Use me for your glory, Lord. Use me to show this lost and dying world there is hope. There is a Savior. There is salvation. There is a way. Use me, Lord. And we get ourselves out of the way, and we get our thought process out of the way where it's all about me. It's not all about me. It's all about Him. Everything we do, it's all about Him. Everything we say, it's all about Him. Everything we do and we say should lift up the name of God. We should lift up Him because He is our Savior. He said, take us to Him. Take us to Him, for we've seen His star. We've come a long way. It's been a long journey. But I want to see Him. Oh, hallelujah. I think about this life has been rough. It's been ups and downs. It's been highs and lows. The highs are high and the lows are low. And I think, man, I tell my boys all the time, I said, you know what? It's great to have everything planned out, but sometimes life just smacks you upside the head. But it's all right because Jesus is there. And I want you to know, if you can't depend on nobody else, you can depend on Jesus. He is your help in times of trouble. He is, in Ezekiel, he said, I'll be the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Sometimes I feel like I'm a spoke in the wheel, and I feel like I'm the spoke that's messed up. Everybody else around me has got it going on together. But as long as I'm touched into the hub, to the wheel that's in the middle of the wheel, and I'm hanging on for everything I got, and I'm saying, God, I'm holding on to you, but I'm not letting go. You are my help, Lord, and I'm not letting go of you, God. I'm going to keep on holding on. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to keep on. The Bible says that wheel, when it went up and went down, it started running over things. It ran over obstacles in your life. People say, I can't believe that person was in my life for a short season and now they're gone. I miss them so much. God brings people into your life for a season. You glean knowledge, you glean wisdom from them, and you go on. That's what God does. He brings people into your life. That's what's going to make heaven so special to me too. I'm going to get to see all these people that have passed on before. Great saints and warriors of God that prayed for me, that prayed with me, that I could go and talk to. Great men of God that have passed on to the other side that I'm going to get to see. But I'm not going to see them like they were, like I knew them. I'm going to see them in that heavenly body. I'm going to see them in that heavenly body because He is my Savior. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. How beautiful is that? Verse 4 of chapter number 2. When He had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, He demanded them of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto Him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet. He was born and placed in a manger. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The story never gets old to me. He was placed in a manger. I remember when Laz was first born. You know, you have your first kid, and when you're in the hospital, always wash your hands. Make sure you don't put anything in their mouth. Don't put your finger in their mouth. You got the little pacifier. You got the little bottle. You got to hold them just right. Everything's got to be just perfect. But my Jesus was born in a stable and placed in a manger. All of heaven rejoiced because they knew that a Savior had been born. We as people completely missed out on that for a long time. Because we didn't realize that there was a Savior. We didn't even realize we were so on our high horse and our pride horse that we didn't even realize we needed a Savior. We were in such, now amen, oh me, we were in such a place when we were lost in our sin, we didn't need nobody. I don't want to hear your Jesus stuff. I got this all figured out. Ain't nobody in this room ever said that. I don't want to hear what the Bible has to say. But yet Jesus loved you. But yet He never stopped loving you. Yet He never stopped loving you. And that love grew more and more and more. And as testimonies that we heard yesterday, people said, I don't know what was going on in my life, but whenever I would do something wrong, I would immediately feel conviction from it. That's because God was trying to reach down to you right in the state you were in. And He was trying to say, that's not right. I died for your sin so you can live a better life. Amen. And as Brother Keith can attest, there is a better life. There's a high that you won't come down from. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, you can go into church on Sunday and you can have a shouting good time and you don't have to wake up the next morning with a bad headache. You don't have to wake up in the next morning just feeling terrible. You can wake up the next morning feeling victorious because there is a better way. Because there's a Savior. Amen. If you're in this place tonight, I want you to know, whatever you've done, it's not bad enough that God can't save you. Amen. If you're trying to run from God, stop. I'm telling you, stop. Just stop. So I'm worried about what this person will think, what that person will think. Who cares? Newsflash, they didn't die for you. They don't love you like that. I looked over at my wife the other night and I said, you know what? I like you a lot. She's like, I like you a lot too. I said, I think I love you. She said, I love you too. And I wonder how many times God just wants to tell us, I love you. Sometimes going down the road, it'll just be me and the boys. And I'll say, boys, I love you. I just want you to know that I love you. Somebody needs to hear in this house tonight. Yes. Jesus loves you. Sometimes He just wants to tell you, it's all right, and I love you. We beat ourselves up so many times we think, man, I'm just a dirty, rotten scoundrel of a person, and I'm no good this and not good that. If you'll be quiet, the reason why God gave us one mouth and two ears is so we can listen twice as much as we talk. Amen. If we'll listen to God, He's just trying to say, I love you. If you'll just listen to Him. Don't think into the situation more than what it is. Think, if God can put this world into existence. Listen, we just came off a boat a couple weeks ago. And like I said, I'm a Florida boy. But it amazes me how much water is in the ocean. That you can be out there for days and never see land. That amazes me. And I begin thinking, you know, everything that's under this boat, there's things that are alive that I don't know about. That I probably don't want to see. I'm just going to be truthful. I don't want to see what's under this boat. You know, I'm not the guy that's looking out the window trying to look down. No, because I've seen the sharks and I've seen, you know, all that stuff. But it amazes me when you get to a place where the water stops. Who told the water to stop there? God did. We worry about our own little problems. And God has got everything in control. This world tilts on an axis at just the right speed. At just the right angle. We don't burn up. We don't freeze. God's got it under control. He's just trying to tell you, I love you. I love you. But if you have a need in this house tonight, whatever it might be, whether it be physical, spiritual, financial, I believe God is in this house tonight. And I believe God wants to move on your behalf. And I believe that if you pray believing and receiving. Listen, David said, I've got to reach up through the cloud of doubt. And I've got to reach up and I've got to grab my miracle. Sometimes that cloud of doubt hovers over us. Sometimes we think, I know God can do it, but help my unbelief. Kind of like Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas said, God, I believe it's you, but help my unbelief. If we come to God and we're real, we say, God, I know you can heal me. I know that there's some things going on in my life that I don't know how to handle. But God, I give it to you. God, I give it to you. Do you know why we raise our hands and surrender and we open our hands? Because that's a sign of God, I let go. God, I let go of everything. God, I let go of the hurt. God, I let go of the depression. God, I let go of the stress. God, I let go of everything that's got me preoccupied. God, I let go of it. And I give it to you. My Bible tells me that He'll give you beauty for ashes. He'll give you strength. He'll give you the oil of joy. Hallelujah. There's some people in this house tonight that just need to let it go. Let it go. Just reach out to Him. Put your hand in His hand. And I can always remember, as a kid, when I put my hand in my father's hand, I could feel strength and I felt comfort and I knew that I was going to be okay. I used to pray at night when mom and dad would tuck me into bed, I'd pray at night, God, give my dad the strength to stay up late and watch TV. Because I know as long as he stayed up and he watched TV, that he was on watch for me, that he was going to protect me. Even though I'm grown, I say, God, I need you to watch over me. Because while I'm asleep, help me to sleep peacefully. Put a hedge of protection not only around about my family, but about me. About those I go to church with, those I work with, those that I love, those that don't like me. Watch over them too, Lord, because they need your hand too. Because if nobody else ain't praying for them, I'm going to pray for them. Honey, I'm gonna get everybody. I might not remember no name, but I can remember a face. God, be with that one, and be with that one, and be with that one, and be with that one. God, help us to start praying for one another. Amen. Help us to start bearing one another's burdens. I can tell you over the past few years, I've had this happen to me. I've never had it happen before. But when somebody comes to me and they have a burden, I take it on as myself. I take it on as like it's mine. And the Holy Spirit brings that back to my remembrance and says, you need to pray for that. You need to pray for that like it's your own need. You need to pray for that like it's your own burden. I said that to say this. God wants to move tonight. God wants us to pray for one another. And in closing, what I'd like to do, I'd like us to all stand. And what I want to do is I want us to take each other by the hand. Now listen, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Every one of us in here has a need. Every one of us in here has a burden. Every one of us in here struggles with something. And I'm believing as we pray one for another, you don't have to tell that person beside you what your need is. God knows. Yes. You just pray. And I mean, you just pray. You pray like you've never prayed before. You pray like that's your burden. And I believe God's going to move in a mighty way. I felt that this morning as I was sitting here in church. I said, my goodness, God's going to do something mighty tonight. You're here tonight for a reason. You just didn't show up by chance because you thought I would just come to church Sunday night. You're here for a reason, for this time. And as we close, I want to close in a word of prayer. And let us pray one for another. If you have a need, this altar is open, but I want us to pray one for another. Father, we love you, Father God. Lord, we thank you for all the shandara moko, randara moko, randara mokondaraha. We thank you for all that you do for us, Father God. We thank you for meeting every need, Father God. We thank you for moving in a mighty way in this house, Father God. Lord, as we pray one for another, Father God, bearing one another's burdens, Father God. Lord, as your word says, Lord, we lift up your name, Father God, for you are the Savior of the world, Lord. There is nothing impossible for you. There is nothing that you cannot do, Father God. And Lord, as you reach down and you meet every need, Father God, whether it might be physical or mental or financial, whatever it might be, or spiritual, Father God, Lord, I ask you to move in a mighty way in this house, Father God. Lord, I ask you to break down every wall, every chain, Father God, every barrier, Father God. Lord, I ask you just to move in a mighty way, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this house, Lord. We thank you in advance for the healings that we're going to hear of, Father. Father God. We thank you in advance for the financial breakthroughs, Father God. We thank you for the mental health that you're bringing. We thank you for the peace that you're bringing, Father, that passes all understanding, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for that spiritual restoration, Lord, that you're bringing, Father God. Lord, let them breathe deeply, Father God. Let them feel your presence, Father God. Let them see that there is hope in his name is Jesus. Let them not be afraid, Father God, but let them see that you are the greatest thing that's ever happened to this world, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this house. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Praise.